These are crucial questions that we are going to tackle today. To help me respond to these questions, we are joined by Sheikh Mohammed Saeed Bahmanpour, Principal of Islamic College in London. Next to him is Dr. Anthony McRae, expert in Islam and in the Middle East. And finally, Masoud Shajari, Sheikh, Chair of Islamic Human Rights Commission. Thank you for all of you to being with us today. I want to start with you, Sheikh Mohammed, and to start with a very simple question. A huge question is, how would you define the concept of justice in Islam?
Salaamu alaikum. This is a very difficult question, not a simple question. Of course it's simple, but a very difficult one. It's very difficult to define justice, actually, because justice is something which everyone has a feeling about it inside themselves. Well, just is an attribute of God. And that is what every believer would expect from God to show in his acts, in whatever he do, to show justice. And I think if we want to generally define justice, apart from a theological connection, justice is something which the basis of all human communication and exchange. If we don't have that idea of justice, we cannot treat each other in a respectful way. We cannot deal with each other, because if we do not believe in justice, then we do not have a basis upon which we can build our relationships. And therefore, we have an idea of it. Maybe it's easier to define justice by its opposite, which is oppression. Mm-hmm. Oppression, that means taking people's rights, wronging them. We have a better idea of what oppression means than what justice may mean. Mm-hmm. Oppression is related to rights, and if you take someone's their rights, then of course you have done injustice to them.
But do we have all the same rights? Would you say, for example, that there is something which is the justice starts with all human beings are equal?
I don't think so. I mean, justice is to giving everything and everyone its due right, not equal rights. I mean, you cannot give a child the same right that you give to a parent. Mm-hmm. You cannot take rights from parents, for example, parenting their child, while, for example, you take some rights of the children, give it to their parents so that they could bring them up. So you cannot say every human being should be equal so that we establish justice. Now, if we come to theology, and if you want to talk from the viewpoint of Islam, then we are in difficulty as in any other religion. You know, theology is there just to make life difficult for believers, isn't it? Because simply people know what is justice.
So you are here to make our discussion difficult, that's fine. No.
Okay. I mean, simply if you ask every believer what is justice, they can give you some idea. But if you come to theology, then yes, we have two main trends here. We have Ash'ari views on justice, we have Mu'tazili views on justice, which is very close to Shi'i view of justice, of course. Now, according to Mu'tazili view, which was the rationalist trend of theology at the beginning of the Islamic history, which was defeated later on completely by Ash'ari type of thought in the Sunni world. According to them, human mind is able and capable to understand and define justice independently, independent of God. And then justice, after it's defined independently and rationally, they say God has to act according to these standards because he's just. Now, in Ash'ari view, the whole picture was different. Justice is something which you extract from the act of God. Mm. It's not something that you can independently define.
It's coming through revelation. It's coming from what he is saying to human beings.
It comes from what he does and what he says.
Yes.
So whatever he does is justice, not that he has to act according to justice. So there are these two different
views. So it's quite interesting. From the beginning, what you are saying is that there are different views, that there is not only one Islamic conception of justice. There is something which is called justice in Islam, and it's one of the names of God, as I said, but the interpretations from people is quite different. So let me just with something which is the starting point, justice with oneself. We have an invocation, a dua, and a prayer saying, we have been unjust with our own self.
Yes.
What would be justice with your own self?
I think when we come to this issue of being just to one's own self, religion may plays a very big role. I mean, defining justice according to religious understanding of the whole world is completely different from defining it in a secular, atheistic type of mindset. Because according to religious mindset, justice is defined justice to the soul. At the top of all other things, with one's relation to God, as well as other things, of course. Your relation to God, your relation to others, your relation to the way you treat yourself. This is what defines justice. In Surah Luqman, we have, يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرَكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. To associate partners with God is injustice, is a very, very huge injustice.
Towards God.
Towards our own selves. No, you cannot be unjust to God.
You can be unjust towards God when you associate something to Him. You wouldn't put it like that.
I don't think we put it like that, because if you say that you can be unjust to God, then it means that you can wrong Him and you can oppress Him, which is of course impossible. You all comes back to you. You will be unjust to yourself, because it's only by this idea of Tawheed, worshipping Him, the Creator, that you can develop your soul. You can grow.
Okay.
Then associating partners with Him would be an injustice to your own soul.
Okay, I want to react on this. You are a Christian, devout Christian, and when you listen to a conception of justice in Islam telling you from the very beginning that there is not only one conception of Islam, many definitions, and from the beginning in the Sunni tradition, but also with the Shia tradition, is that many ways of dealing with it.
Well, one of the first things I have to say as a lecturer in Islamic studies, who is an evangelical Protestant Christian, shall we say, I always have to say to my students, or even when I'm asked to speak in churches, or even speak on secular TV, one of the first things I always say is Islam is not a monolith. And this is very important, particularly in this post 9/11, post 7/7 age, because people will start looking at what statements by Al-Qaeda, particularly when he's quoting the Quran or even the Sunni Hadith or Sunni jurisprudence. I say, Islam says you can kill innocent children. Now, quite clearly, it depends on, you're looking at one particular, and I will say, very warped interpretation. The fact is, if you go through, even people who are completely opposed to Al-Qaeda, whether Sunnis or Shia, will tell you that there are differences of opinion. And we should expect this, because even within evangelical Protestantism, there are differences of opinion on various issues, particularly eschatological issues, what's going to happen in the future. I often have to say that sometimes when people, Muslims, come to me and complain about what some American evangelical has said about the Middle East, I'll say, well, that's because he's a dispensational premillennialist. I'm not. Now, we should not expect that there'll be the same opinion about justice in different Islamic traditions.
But isn't it a problem? For example, you are working in the field of human rights, you are a Muslim. Okay, if there are many conceptions, so there is no parameter. So everyone has his own opinion about justice?
No, it's yes and no. Yes. The reality is that we might have a philosophical differences, but in practical sense, you ask even a child, a five-year-old child, will actually be able to tell the difference between justice and injustice. And I think it's something that actually
Are you
inherent.
Sure? Are you
yes,
sure that I mean, this I mean, is the case?
Yeah, because
if you take my time.
No, but they know they're being oppressed. You know, if you actually oppress anyone, they know they're being oppressed.
Okay,
and they will say that this is an oppression. This is actually interference and taking my rights away from me.
Yes.
And then, you know, from that point of view, to give people's rights, it's actually a responsibility. From a religious point of view, it's a responsibility.
Masoud, is it not that when your rights are taken, you know this, but you are taking the rights of others, you don't even always aware, even if you are a child?
No, but this is the thing. This is the point that, you know, this is why, unfortunately or fortunately, there will be a lot of work for people like myself to get involved in actually establishing and trying to make sure people's rights are not taken away. Oppressors all the time are ignorant of their oppression, or indeed they undermine the gravity of their oppression. They oppress people, they find reasoning, they say, I'm doing this because I want to save the country, or I want to do this, I'm trying to, it's for your own good, you know, and this sort of thing. But the reality is that it's actually, when it comes to practice by practice, you actually see that. And indeed, this is when the Sharia comes in, this is when international law comes in, this is when the legal systems comes in, because those are the parameters that we actually use by defining is someone's rights have been taken away or not. And I think,
so
you know,
you need this apparatus, you need the system to help us to clarify a better implementation.
These are the means of actually measuring and so forth, and it goes back to, you know, sort of the concept from Islamic point of view, it goes back to the Sharia and to the rights that, you know, it's established within the Sharia.
Sheikh Mohammed, you agree with this? Many conceptions, but we need a system just to be able to give a sense of what justice is in Islam.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, justice is always, I mean, we have to set a system, then in that system we look at different things and say whether they are according to justice or they are not. For example, usually what happens, this unequal inheritance shares about men and women in Islam is taken outside out of the system of Sharia. It's brought in a secular society and they say, this is injustice. This is not just. You give women half the men. Now, if, of course, you take that to this system, it's completely unjust. It doesn't work here. So you have to define this in that very system where men are obliged to provide for women whatever they need.
So what you are saying, mainly, which is quite important, a just law within the whole system taken from the system could become an unjust law.
Absolutely.
This is the way the Muslims, do you think that all the Muslims are looking at it like that?
I don't know whether all the Muslims are looking at it like
that. Through your experience.
I would think that's an excellent answer to this issue, because this has come up so frequently. And I've never actually heard a Muslim scholar present it like that, and I'm very grateful that Dr. Balmanpour has said this, because usually you find some Muslim spokespeople who'll be very uncomfortable in trying to be apologetic about it, or trying to say, oh, you misunderstood it. And to have it stated as explicitly as that, I think is very, very helpful, because obviously if you apply that situation to, you know, a Western country where, for example, in Britain, we've had both a head of state, the Queen, and a head of government, Mrs. Thatcher, who have been women, which would be, strictly speaking, possible under a strict Islamic Sharia situation. But to put it the way you've done, I think is very, very helpful to me, and of course to anyone else here. Could just say, one problem that will come for us, if I speak now as an evangelical Christian, and I've said this before on Iranian and on Press TV, one of the problems we're having now, and it's all over the Christian press and the Christian media, is this great consternation about the Iranian parliament bringing in this new apostasy law which sentences people to death for conversion. And that's something that, leave aside Christians, even the most atheistic Westerner will not understand or appreciate. I know you've written different issues on this, but this, you see, to most Western people, they see this as blatantly unjust. They cannot understand it. It's done immense harm to Iran's image in the West. And I think this is one of the issues that when Westerners, I'll say Western, not Christians, when Westerners come to look at the Muslim world, they see a plethora of dictatorships, and they think that this is an Islamic state. They even see countries that... when the Taliban were in power in Afghanistan, and they see what they believe is an application of Islamic law. And your average Westerner, not knowing the first thing about Islam other than that they have a book called the Quran, will assume that this is proper Islam.
I will come back to you. I just want to carry on with this. I want you to react on this just afterward. But just let me carry on this concept of justice. You have been studying Islam, and at the same time you are a devout Christian. Yeah. from what you were saying now and what you feel, there is a difference in conception between the Islamic way of dealing with justice and the Western or the Christian way of dealing with justice. Would you say that there is a difference?
I think there is. Well, because so the Christian difference I would start from is the concept of justice in the Old Testament is called the word is mishpat in Hebrew. Mm. And it's part of justice. And in the Old Testament, justice and righteousness are seen as parallel. They're almost synonymous.
Yeah.
And the starting point for a Christian is not so much that God is just, but that God is love. Not that God is loving, but God is love. And everything flows from that, the fact that he's holy. And his action is described as righteousness. Zedek in Hebrew, dikaiosune in Greek. And the idea of righteousness is the right balance. So it's very similar to the concept, if you like, of qisas in a way, in Islam. The right balance. Everything is the way God wants it to be, the right way. And in the Old Testament, that takes the point where you get the idea of eye for eye, tooth for tooth.
Hmm.
And the idea of that is that if you knock out someone's eye, your eye will be knocked out, but not two eyes, your one eye. In the New Testament, Jesus says, I tell you, higher than that. If someone slaps your left cheek, don't slap his left cheek, you just turn your cheek. Hmm. Now, the concept, it starts therefore from the nature of God as loving, and his action is righteous.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But for example, you know, as I said at the beginning of our program, God is justice, and the one, you know, in Allah, Allah commends justice,
yeah.
And it's one of his names. What you are saying, and coming from the Christian tradition, is God is love.
Yes.
Would you say that love is beyond justice?
No, because there's no contradiction between God's attributes. I'm sure, and that'd be true, what Islamic theologians would say the same thing in their view of Allah. What we would say is that, for example, the best expression of justice for a Christian is that Jesus on the cross pays the penalty for our sins. He pays the penalty which was due to everyone. That justice must be done.
Hmm.
That a sin must be punished. And on the day of judgment, those who've rejected God's message through Jesus, we believe, will be sent to hell, and others will get the heavenly reward. And obviously, that's a parallel to some extent with what we find in Islamic eschatology.
Hmm.
The idea of the day of judgment, some people will be given paradise, others will be given hell, because justice must be done. So it's rather a different attitude of where we're coming from, that God's love is not contrary to his justice, to his righteousness,
hmm.
but rather his righteousness and his justice are an expression of his love.
Mm-hmm. So, last question about this, when it comes to what you heard first here from an Islamic viewpoint and what you are teaching, the concept of justice in Islam, and the fact that you're also dealing with the Middle East and between the theory and the practice, what would be the main problems that you see between what Islam is saying about this justice and the Muslims today when they come with this? How do you see this problem? Because I want to come to practical things.
Well, again, I think the fact is we need to look at the reality that most Muslim countries are dictatorships, whether they're crown dictatorships or military dictatorships or civilian dictatorships, and the law legal system is not really doesn't really have any proper constitutionality, whether it's religious or secular. It's simply personal. It's there to keep the individual or the party or the army in power. So it's difficult to criticise. But some Muslim countries for being for their religious concept of justice, because the operation of their power is not based on any kind of religious idea. It's based purely on power, on staying in power, and that's why we've got prisons full of religious and political dissidents. It's nothing to do with religion, it's simply to do with power.
So what I want, just because we have been talking about the whole concept of justice first, the practical dimension, you raised some questions. I want you to come back just after the break. We'll have a break now, but I really want you, Sheikh Mohammed and Masood, to react on some of the points raised, but also to come to the practical dimension, because the concept of justice, many different interpretations, but at the same time, what is important for us is how do we promote justice in our societies, in the Muslim majority countries and in the West, in which way the Muslims Muslims could contribute to a better, not only conception of justice, but implementation of its rules, the system, and in which we can improve this. We'll take a break now, but remember, if you want to join the debate, send us a question or suggest another topic for us to discuss. Our email address is islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. That's islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. We'll be back in a few minutes for more discussion.